Hello, Dental Online Trainers, and welcome to the Dental Online Training Sharecast. I'm your host, Dr. Dennis Hartley. Each month, we'll talk with dental experts who are doing amazing work in the world of dentistry. Also, occasionally, I'm going to throw in a few of my solo bonding sharecasts, where I share a little with you about what I've learned along the way during my career. So tune in the first Tuesday of every month to hear the latest episodes. Hello, Dental Online Trainers. I'm Dr. Dennis Hartlieb, and welcome back for another of our solo bonding episodes. In our solo bonding episodes, this is where I just get kicked back and I get to riff a little bit about some thoughts that I might have about dentistry or who knows, maybe even life in general. So I got to give you a story. So many of you are familiar with my passions. I have three great passions outside of family and friends and all the real stuff. So this is like hobbies and, you know, all the extra stuff. My three passions, many of you may know about, are Michigan football, dentistry, and of course, cycling. If you've seen me on Instagram, you'll see me with my bike quite often. So anyhow, maybe not in that particular order, and it really depends on how Michigan is faring in their football season and how day-to-day dentistry is going and the weather out here when we're doing our cycling. But those are sort of my principal passions and the things I like to do. So, but there's a new hobby, I guess, something new that I'm getting into, and that's sailing. And that's going to lead us into my conversation today. So my other half, Angela, and I, we recently bought a sailing boat. Now, I have some sailing experience. I've taken some classes and I've done a little bit of sailing, but I am no way near an expert. And it's really, truly not a passion of mine. But Angela's quite the sailor, and it is a passion of hers. So we bought a boat. We bought an old boat. We bought a 1963 32-foot Chesapeake sailing boat. It's really beautiful. The name of the boat is called Carcane. C-R-A-C-A-G-N-E, which I think actually, as it turns out, rhymes with migraine because this boat's been kind of a headache for us. Let me tell you about it. We had to pick the boat up in Sheboygan, Wisconsin, which is about 50 miles north of where we live in Milwaukee. We had to sail it down, and we spent our first day rigging the boat and learning about the boat and sailing it. And we had a stop point about halfway down in Port Washington. And we had a slip there rented for the night. So for those not familiar with boating, a slip is a place where you park your boat and you got to rent it out just like you would rent a RV spot or something like that. So we have a slip rented out for the night, and then we're going to go the second half of the journey the second day. And sailing is going, and the wind is in our face. So for those who don't sail, we have to tack, or what's called zigzagging, because you can't sail directly into the wind. So you have to sort of tack or zigzag your way, and we're heading south. So we're making our sailing, and then at some point we realize we have to start motoring, and our sailboat has a motor. We have to start motoring because it's getting late and we need to get into the slip before it's too late. And so we bring down our sail. It's a beautiful evening, and we're motoring down, and the motor is working great until it doesn't, and the motor dies, the motor stops. So we're out on Lake Michigan. Lake Michigan, if not been around Lake Michigan, Lake Michigan's like an ocean. I mean, it's big, right? But fortunately, we're close to land. We can, you know, we're not that far off land. The motor stops, and so we get to start back up. And again, this is a 1963 boat. This boat's as old as I am, and it starts back up. All right, good. We're doing all right, and it stops and it starts back up. Bottom line is we finally get into the marina. We get into the slip. It's very late, but we get in, and the boat made it. Carcane made it. So happy days. So we're there. Really late, but we're there. We get up the next morning. I know a little bit about engines. My dad used to work for General Motors, and we used to do a lot of car stuff when I was a kid. And so, but it's been a long time. I mean, that's when I was a kid. I'm no longer a kid. So I'm going back in my memory bank and checking things out, and things seem fine. And so the boat had been stored over the winter and had like 3/4 of a gas tank. So I thought, well, maybe there's some condensation in the tank. Let's fill it up with some good premium fuel and see if that's going to work for us. So the boat starts up early in the morning, no problem. We fill it up and we have a beautiful second sail all the way down to Chicago. I mean, all the way to Milwaukee. We have to start motoring in. And of course the motor stops on us again. It's a very helpless feeling when your boat motor dies on you. This is way different. I mean, it's bad when your car motor, when that red light comes on and all of a sudden you got to pull over and your car's, that's happened more than once in my life. That's an awful feeling. But I got to tell you, what's way worse is when your boat fails. I can't even imagine what it's like flying a plane and having engine problems. So, you know, in degree of order, magnitude, you know, car, or I say bicycle, car, boat, and then probably airplane, I would think for sure. But anyhow, it's no fun being on a big lake like Lake Michigan and your motor not working. Bottom line, we got into our slip, and then that week I call around to see if I can get someone to come look at our engine. So I call the first place and I start describing the boat. I say I have a 1963 Chesapeake sailboat. It's got a, and I describe the engine, and the guy immediately cuts me off. He says, "Hate to cut you off, but you need an old guy for that." That's what he says. "You need an old guy for that." Because new motors aren't the same as old motors, apparently. And it made me think and made me laugh. And I, you know, because I'm like now probably an old guy, especially in dentistry, right? So I started thinking about, you need an old guy in dentistry. And I started thinking about my career and things that I've learned. You know, and, you know, there are techniques that I do today that I was doing decades ago. For instance, like night guards. But you know what? Understanding more about joint health and joint dysfunction or joints, I understand how to adjust a splint and when it's not working and why it's not working, that I didn't understand a decade ago as well, or for sure 2 decades ago, and certainly 3 decades ago when I was a very young dentist, right? So I'm still adjusting night guards. I'm still adjusting splints. But being, you know, if you will, an old guy, you know, an established practitioner, I've learned so much that's been so valuable. And as I'm doing these adjustments today, I, without even recognizing, I reflect back on other patients that would have similar issues and what I've learned from them and what I've learned along the way from, you know, people like Frank Spear and Jack Coyce and Dawson, Jim McKee. Right. So many people have taught me about joint health, joint dysfunction, splints, stuff like that, that all accumulates, all that little knowledge base accumulates. And now I'm at a point where it's like, yeah, I've been there. I've seen that. Right. And this is true with like difficult restorative procedures, right? You have like a really deep class 2 box. Maybe the distal wall is broken off of a upper second molar. Things that are still challenging because it's not easy. I don't think it's easy at all, but I have that experience as an established practitioner, as an old guy, that I can look at these things and say, okay, I've been down this path. This is familiar territory. We can manage this. And there's some comfort in that. And one of the challenges, right, when you're a young provider, is you have all this enthusiasm and all this eagerness, but you have a lack of experience, right? And sometimes it's lack of patience and you want to get more experience. And it's difficult to be patient while you start getting that experience. And unfortunately, all of us suffer from having failures, clinical failures, simply because we don't have a lot of clinical experience. When I was a young dentist, I knew that I was unprepared. And it's not from the fault of the school. I just had challenges understanding how all the disciplines of dentistry are related together: orthodontics, perio, you know, surgical, restorative, crown bridge, what have you, and then even like implants as those were coming in. And I couldn't figure out how they all interconnected together. And I decided as a young dentist I was going to look for seasoned specialists so I could learn from their experiences. So I found periodontist Alan Rosenfeld, who had 20 years on me, because I wanted someone who's gone down, worked with other dentists, has gone down the path of doing procedures and could give me guidance. Hey, Dennis, I've seen this when other dentists have done this, and just give me guidance. I worked with Dr. John Ford, an orthodontist, and Jerry Elward, orthodontist, who were terrific, and they guided me. They had more experience, and they guided me like, hey, if we do this, this is what I would expect to happen. And this would be a good timing for whatever, put in a procedure, right? So maybe we should do some orthodontics first and then do this and then finish up the orthodontics or what have you. And learning from their experiences So it's critical to go get your continuing education and go to meetings and see how people are doing things. And in today's world of interdisciplinary dental therapy, where people are managing cases, working together with their orthodontist and their surgeon and the restorative, working it all together, that's awesome. But it's also great to rely on people who have more experience. Steve Potashnik was a prosthodontist that I would reach out to, or Steve Fisher was a great general dentist. Bob Lowe, phenomenal dentist. And I would reach out to them and get guidance, like, you know, help me work through these cases. So I would seek out the old guys. And it doesn't have to be a guy, right? It's a man or woman, but someone who's experienced. And so in our dental workplace, in our worlds where we can be isolated in our practices, it's important that we are looking in our daily practices as a young dentist, where's the old guy, right? When you have those cases that you're not quite sure where to go with it, where is the established practitioner in your community that you can reach out to and say, Doc, can you give me a hand? Could I buy you a cup of coffee? Could you spare a few minutes with me and give me some thoughts on this case that I have going on? It was not unusual for me to refer cases to prosthodontists when I was first starting out, because I just didn't know how to handle the complexity. But I would go and I would learn on how they were managing those patients so that I would be able to do it myself. So in dentistry, I think it's critical that we look towards mentorship to help guide us as we're going on our path into learning how to do better and better dentistry. You know, I think this is really true as we're getting more and more into implants. I mean, I look back at the implant cases that I restored 25 years ago, maybe even longer, 30 years ago. Maybe about 25 years ago, 27 years ago. What we know today is way different than before, but the parts are considerably different. And so when you are a dentist and a case comes in, a patient walks in and they have some old implants that need some help, you may need to be reaching out to someone who has experience with those older implants. So your Carcane, your 1963 32-foot Chesapeake, right? There should be no embarrassment as a dentist to reach out to our colleagues, right? We are have all gone through the process of learning, and we all need help and mentorship as we're growing through. So I would say this. I want to leave you with these few thoughts. For those of you like me who have been practicing for years, or maybe not even as established as I am, you know, reflect back on this journey that you've taken and think about the procedures that you do today and how your skill level and your understanding, how it's modified and how it's hopefully advanced, right? Are you the same dentist practicing the same type of dentistry year after year after year? So you have 10 years of experience, but it's the same year 10 times? Or have you been growing? You know, my coach, Jim Harbaugh at Michigan, says grow 1% every day. Get 1% better every day, right? So if we can do that in our dentistry, get a little bit better every day through our continuing education, through mentorship, through practice, the dentistry that we're doing, let's look back 10, 20 years and think about the procedures that you're doing today, but you were doing back then, and maybe be a little bit proud that, hey, this is how I've advanced, you know, and I'm able to serve my patients even better. Secondly, if you're challenged by a case, don't be afraid to reach out, right? It's way, way better. I mean, it's about the patient, right? It's about the patient. So seek mentorship in those challenging cases. Seek orthodontics, you know, if you have an orthodontic specialist in your community, reach out to them. If you're getting into Invisalign, if you're getting into tray treatment, or even if you're going to be placing brackets, be upfront with them. They're going to find out anyhow. So say, look, I want to dabble in some orthodontics. Would you be okay guiding me? I'm still going to send you the more challenging cases, but could you guide me on this? It's a much better way than getting into a case that you can't get yourself out of and then have to refer the person over. So seek that mentorship. If you buy an established practice, hold on to the old stuff. You know, you may have someone who walks in with a Brandemark implant from the 90s, and all of a sudden you're like, well, maybe we have something in this little box here. that we came in with this practice. And there it is. There might be maybe there's a loose screw, a broken screw, and you find an old screw that you can use. You know, because some of these parts we're not going to be able to get. We can't get anymore. So keep your old parts, right? And as we're getting more and more to digital workflow, we rarely take impressions on our patients these days. But you know what? We still do. And I don't know what's going to look like in 10 to 20 years. But I do think that there's probably always going to be a place that you may need something more immediate than what you can by scanning and printing. But that may be false, right? The way things are advancing today. But be careful. If you have some old stuff, you know, hang on to that, because you never know when who's going to walk in the door and you might be able to use it. Finally, for our young practitioners, enjoy the journey. You know, accept the challenges. Dentistry is a tough profession, man. I love it, but it's a tough profession, right? We have to manage our patients. Clinically, dentistry is difficult. We're working in the back of the mouth, working with a mirror. You got water spray, you got tongues, you got cheeks, right? Patients with limited opening, people, you know, with all sorts of challenges. And dentistry is difficult. And then we had the challenges of meeting patients' expectations. And then we're also, if you own your own practice, or even as an associate, you're still managing team members and you're still a leader in the practice, all of which are challenges, right? These are heavy weights that we carry as we wear all these different hats within our practice. So that's my thought as an old guy in dentistry. And we sought out our old guy, Todd, who's helping us with our boat, Carcane, becoming hopefully less of a migraine, and enduring the journey and accepting the limitations, right? So I would say this, enjoy it, seek mentorship, and reflect back on your journey as you're going through it. All right, Dental Online Trainers, that's it for today. Just a short little thought, walking through, dealing with my new passion, hopefully passion, sailing, if we get Carcane back out on the water, and actually sailing where we can use the motor. So until next time, I'm Dr. Dennis Hartley, yours for better dentistry. Thanks for joining us. If you enjoy this and you want to get more information from Dental Online Training, then check us out at dothandson.com. That's one word, dothandson.com. Now, as a reminder, DOT has so many other great opportunities for your learning. We have our Wine and Unwind monthly webinars where we engage real time with our viewers as we bring in leaders throughout the dental industry to bring you up-to-date information and answer your questions. We have our monthly Coffee and Donut Study Club sessions where our participants bring in cases and we treatment plan these cases together to help you with the dentistry that you provide for your patients. We have our live virtual workshops where our dental online trainers perform the same techniques from their kits in the comfort of their own home or office as I'm doing the same procedure under our video camera. We have our blogs and we have an endless selection of hands-on pre-recorded technique courses to help you improve the quality of the clinical dentistry that you provide for your patients. That's right, with our on-demand courses, you do these hands-on exercises when the time is right for you. So check us out on Instagram, Facebook, or LinkedIn at Dental Online Training. And hey, be sure to share this with your friends and colleagues who you think might benefit from this sharecast and everything that we have to offer with Dental Online Training. And hey, how about one of those coveted 5-star ratings? We would love it and appreciate it if you could take the time and just give us one of those great 5-star ratings. This episode was created with special help from Claire O'Neill. It was edited by Ashley Dickinson Ellison, and with original music by Chris Peterson. Again, thank you for listening. I'm Dr. Dennis Hartlieb, yours for better dentistry.